Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. John Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and today it is September the 9th. We're doing our call on Wednesday, this time usually Thursday, but Wednesday today just because I have an event on Thursday. So Wednesday works really well for today, and then I'll have the recording up shortly as well. And so today I want to talk more about specific coaching for specific situations that you might have, and advanced coaching, and talk about things like how to make your coaching more sports specific or music specific if it's for a musician, or business as well. For injury, a lot of athletes tend to get injured, and musicians as well. So talk about how to use tools for accelerated recovery from injury. That's a huge issue, and confidence there. Since we're in the COVID-19 pandemic, talk about resilience tools and then a lot of athletes and people are lonely these days. Loneliness is a huge thing. It was even before the pandemic with, the advent of too much cell phone use and less social interaction. So now we're even more lonely and more socially isolated with the pandemic. So we can really help with that as Performing Edge coaches. Here's some tools for that. And then how you can design homework assignments on the fly just in that moment for your athlete clients. And then just talk about the other things we were maybe didn't get to last time, coaching tools for peak performance, athlete event critique, different assessments, how to a coaching agreement form, different things. I'll be adding those in the private members area at performingedgecoaching.com, performingedgecoach.com. If you click on coach resources there, I'll be adding more things there. So, and then just talk about any questions that you might have as well. So that's the main purpose of these calls, of course, is to answer your questions too. So we'll have these calls each, second and fourth Thursday of the month, except for today, it's on Wednesday. So we'll have it in the fourth Thursday of the month again this in September. And then, I just wanted to open it up for questions. I know people are on the call. Some people are traveling, and so they're muted their phones here. You can always unmute your phone by pressing *6 to talk or to ask questions. So just wondered if you have any questions right now or things you want to bring up that you'd like me to talk about.
I have a question about visualization. I would like to know about someone who has got a sickness. Do you know the impact of visualization on sickness? Because this one has got a cancer. She has got an operation today. And I read some article about visualization, the power of visualization, and the fact that it can help someone to fight against cancer. Do you know something about that?
Oh, sure, yeah, visualization and with someone that's had surgery, you're saying? Is it an athlete or a musician?
No. She's sick.
Okay, so it could be, visualization can be used for any kind of illness or sickness, or of course with COVID-19, if someone is in that, having that experience, or also with injuries due to their sports, or it could be an accident that someone was in. Lots of things. So it's really powerful. And so one way to do a visualization is to have the person ask some questions, and then you have them to answer those questions in the visualization. So many different things you can do. But you want to talk with them first about asking the right questions. So when they're recovering from surgery, is the person already had the surgery or going into the surgery?
Yes, she is.
She's already had that, yeah. So, you can say afterward, we're usually thinking, the mindset is thinking, oh, I can't do what I used to do before. Like when I had a bicycle accident and I had to have surgery on my leg, I was saying, oh, I can't bicycle, I can't run, I can't swim, I can't walk. But I was on crutches, I could walk on my right leg. And so it's a good thing to ask them, what can I do rather than what can't I do? So there's always some things you can't do. You can breathe, do simple breathing exercises to relax and to stay positive. So you could ask them, ask first relax and have them do some breathing, and then ask them that question, ask yourself, what can I do? Rather than what can't I do? What do I still have that's working? What is working well? And have them visualize that, be able to answer that question, and pause so that you can have them answer that, and be able to say what's good about this situation, and be able to answer that question. What's good about this? Maybe it's that you have something that can be fixed. What's good about this is that you have a competent physician that can work on you and can make you better. And so asking those questions in both beforehand and then visualizing that, asking, and usually when you're doing a visualization and you're in that deeper state of relaxation, then you can the client can go deeper into their response and asking what is good about this situation. It may be that you come out a much better person, a much stronger person. I know, for instance, when I was a runner and I had won the San Francisco Marathon many years ago, and then I got injured and my right leg was injured. I couldn't run for 6 months, but I asked myself, what can I do? I could do swimming and biking, so I did other sports. I got really strong at those, and then that's just when the triathlon was starting as a sport in the early 80s, so I was able to then, when I could run again, I could put the three sports together, and so it allowed me to go in and be a much stronger athlete and actually do a new sport, swimming, biking, and running, and triathlon, that I never would have done before if I'd only been running. So you could ask them that, what's good about this situation, and how can I use this to my advantage? Asking them to ponder that question, how can I use this to my advantage? Because usually if someone's having surgery, or they're ill, they've got lots of time to think, and most of the time the brain goes to that spot, that place that is not, those negative thoughts of, things are getting worse, I'm not going to be able to function as well, or I'll never be as good as I was before or as fast as I was before. But what you want to do is help them to turn that around, to say, how can I use this to my advantage? How can I keep how can I keep moving forward with this? So you ask those questions and ask them to imagine that, and then ask, what can I learn from this? There's usually so much learning that goes on with surgery or with injury? What can I learn from this? Usually this learning about being patient and being kind to yourself, being listening, being able to listen to your body and be able to take steps forward really slowly and easily. And there's learning and, you know, being gentle with your body, and being able to become a stronger person overall and appreciate what you do have. So lots of things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, since you're talking about surgery and injury, Annaelle, that's a great question. I'll kind of go into some more thoughts about that. And some tools that you can use, because you want to, you know, find bouncing back from surgery or from injury. You want to be able to find those meaningful connections between your injury and and your thoughts, your feelings, and your beliefs. And it's good to tell your clients, regardless of how well you plan your training program, it usually comes a time at some point when your body's not able to recover quickly from workouts, or you injure yourself, or you need surgery for some reason, suddenly you might have a forced layoff from training. And so there's, you know, there's lots of books written about the physical aspects of recovering from injury or surgery. And we all know about icing and massage and stretching and ibuprofen, taking medications, all of that. But what about the emotional side? You know, I want to give you some tools for that. What's going on inside your head during this period, and how not participating and not going to practice or not spending a great deal of your time, you know, in the pursuit of your sport or your music or your passion, you know, what will that do to you? We're asking, you wonder, what will you do with all that free time? And you begin to realize that what this injury means to your training and to your lifestyle. And often athletes find it difficult adjusting their time off when they're injured or when they're having surgery. Lots of them really just go nuts and have a really difficult time. And often we don't know how to switch gears from, you know, training, working out hard into that recovery mode, and often resort to ineffective ways of coping that extra time, like, going to addictions or too much drinking or drugs or others, or oftentimes now it's kind of with the internet, it's addictions to technology and too much time on the internet. And in the worst case, it can often include depression or anger or hostility, resentment, or overeating. People overeat or eat the wrong things. Or as I was saying, alcohol or drug use. You want to ask your athletes and your clients, how can you turn your injury or your surgery into positive learning experience and return to training as quickly as possible? So I wanted to give you some specific tools to accelerate the healing process of anything that your clients are going through with injury or surgery, through the use of visualization, like you say, ML. And I think Dave, if you're on the call, and June, and John, we've got some other people listening in too. Mentally picturing your body. And also George and Greg, I think, are joining us on the call too, so thank you. And I wanted to talk with you if you're listening as well. So just, you want to picture your body and its actions in the world, you know, and what life will look like once you're recovered. So I think our, you know, our bodies have an inner wisdom, and they can tell us exactly what it needs to recover from an injury or surgery. And our task is to listen, you know, listen to how our body's doing and what it needs. So first I want to just talk with you a little bit about how injury or surgery affects your mind, how it affects the brain, and then introduce some tools for healing. So here's a few things you might want to know about the psychological elements of injury. There's what happens is first with is that element of self-blame. So blaming yourself, athletes often tend to get down on themselves and their body for being injured. And if you're blaming yourself or becoming injured or feeling guilty about it, you know, those emotions might be getting in the way of healing. So you want to, you know, with your clients, you want to help them to be willing to forgive themselves for what happened, or for getting injured, or if they need surgery, just accepting, being able to have that self-forgiveness rather than going down that rabbit hole of self-blame, and being able to accept the way your body is right now, and it just get to a point of, you know, often we're kind of fighting it and saying, why did I do this? Why didn't I listen to my body? Why didn't I why didn't I stop training earlier? Why didn't I slow down? And we usually, you know, do a lot of the why questions, but it's better to ask questions that start with what, or questions that start with how. I call them positive action questions, and those are questions that can help us. Excuse me. Help us to understand, you know, and help us move forward with what we're doing. So, so there's, you know, how injury affects the mind. There's self-blame, and there's also grief. You know, frequently, this is an overlooked factor. It's a is a powerful emotional side of injury. And so when you get injured or and surgery as well, people are often experience painful emotions like anger, depression, anxiety. And research shows that an athlete's response or any person's response to injury is similar to to profound grief. So an injury is much like losing a loved one. Losing someone that you love or a family member, you've lost your fitness and you're mourning for it. And so you remember how hard you worked and how long it took to get to your previous level of fitness and thinking, wow, I went so hard for so long and my event was coming up, now I can't do my event. All that is really painful. So there is a grieving factor going on there. So it's often there's stages of grief, you know, feeling angry, and then maybe going into a depression. Hopefully that's a shorter term kind of thing, and anxiety, worry about what's going to happen next. So it's good to acknowledge that, have the athlete or your client talk through those things and talk through what it is that they are experiencing, and maybe even cry if they need to cry if in your office or on the phone. That's okay too, to be able to give them permission and say it's okay to cry and okay to be upset, and then experience that. And then there's something called another factor. So we've got how injury affects your brain, the self-blame and the grief, and then secondary gain is something, another factor where an athlete, you might feel a bit relieved that you're hurt and noticing some hidden benefits of being injured. For instance, you know, if you have a strain in your Achilles, you won't have to face the tough competition of something coming up. or you might have an unpleasant job and you don't have to deal with that boring class or boring job that you had. Sometimes the person gets a lot of attention and sympathy from illness or injury, and you might be able to avoid some interpersonal conflict. So those benefits they're referred to as kind of secondary gain. And in a way, it can be good because you think, well, I don't have to do this. I can get out of this competition. But in other ways, it's good to acknowledge those things so that you can heal faster and be able to enjoy the process of, you know, maybe you need a rest. We all need a rest sometimes to be able to switch gears and think about what we need next. And then there's the moving forward factor, I think, that's another part of how injury affects the brain. So after you've gone through the grief and the self-blame and the secondary gains, you know, a critical step in beginning the healing process is for your athletes to, and your clients, your musicians, business people, to acknowledge, express the emotions that are triggered by your injury. So begin to accept those emotions that will pass, and a common reaction to injury is to kind of catastrophize the situation, and too easy to tell yourself if you're hurt or you're sick, saying this is the way it always will be and I'll never be able to compete at that level again. And we want to help our athletes and our clients to develop positive ways of thinking to counter that irrational self-talk and that is there when we're not feeling well. So another important step is be able to move forward and express those emotions and then ask for the help that you need. Hopefully athletes are helping you for the help that they need. And if you have difficulty, we can, I'll show you some techniques, some visualization techniques. And the next issue is, being able to take good care of yourself. You want to keep showing up for your, encourage your athletes to show up for their physical therapy, their medical appointments, doing their exercises, taking any necessary medications, but not overly medicating, and eating properly, keeping your responsibilities in order, continuing with work if you can, and taking care of yourself. It can seem like a really monumental task when you're injured or when you have surgery, but it's that's critical. So it's really good to keep those kind of steps in mind. So yeah, first just wanted to check in. Does those kind of things make sense? And is that helpful for all of you? If you can press *6 if you were muted on your phone and to unmute. Okay, so I'll just go on or if you have any questions, let me ask. I just want to also ask if any of you on our call have been injured yourself, as an athlete or ill and had to overcome something and what you did to get to recover from that. I know Anna L., are you there? Or Dave?
Oh, can you repeat? Are you?
Oh, I was just asking, have you ever been injured yourself or had a surgery or illness that you had to recover from? And how did you recover?
I don't understand, sorry. Hello?
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just asking if you had anything that you've had, or was that helpful, what we were just talking about?
Oh, yes. Yes, I had one of your visualization. It was about healing. And when you did visualization, the client talked to you at the same time. And I wanted to know if it's okay if she talked, because for me, I believe when we do visualization, we have to be concentrated on everything that we feel and not try to talk. And how I can explain? When I do visualization, I talk and the client listens to me, and at the end, I ask to him how it was and what he would like to share with me, but he doesn't talk with me during the time I do visualization. And when I hear your recording, you did visualization at the same time the client talked to you. Do you understand?
Yeah. So are you asking, do you have them talk while you're doing the visualization?
Yes.
Yeah, there's two different styles. I tend to just do the visualization and then ask them to just visualize, and then afterward to tell me to talk about it afterward, what their experience was. You can do it, and that works. That seems to work well. But you can also, if you ask, say you're asking them a question, you can, ask them to visualize one question or one small thing. You can do it in pieces like that, in parts, and have them visualize that one thing, and then have them respond to that. Say, so are you there? You know, let's say visualize yourself healing inside, and let me know, are you there now? Can you visualize, they injured a leg, and visualize your leg getting warmer, visualize warmth around that area to bring more circulation to that part of the body. Let me know, can you visualize that now? And ask them to respond and say, yes, I can visualize that, or no, I need more help or something. And you could ask them for feedback, so they could, and then you can give them more specific tools or create a situation. Like if you want to visualize warmth, imagine yourself in a warm place, like going to Hawaii or Tahiti or some tropical warm place, visualize that. And so you could ask them to, you don't want to just, in some ways it can be helpful, that way they're not, you make sure that they're staying in touch with the visualization process and they're right with you, as opposed to not following you. So you can ask, are you following me now, going to this place, or that sort of thing. So that can be helpful too. So either way is okay. You can just do a visualization for them there while you're with them, or and then just have them do it and talk with you afterward, or you could do it in little pieces and ask for feedback along the way to let them know if you're there now. It would be better if you ask them to talk, it'd be better to have them just say a short word or phrase, letting you know if they're able to visualize that okay, but not to get into a big conversation, otherwise it kind of can break up the visualization. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, or if in some rare cases, if someone is really, if they've been traumatized by something, like I worked with at a hospital where women had been traumatized in the past, and they had a lot of anxiety and fear and difficulty closing their eyes, I'd have them just keep eyes open, but because they're worried if they close their eyes that they would be fearful or they would see the trauma again. It would go back to that. They tend to be hyper focused on that. So imagine, have them visualize you know, can keep their eyes open and just look across the room or something. And but sometimes they might want to just say a couple words to you just to, or need some encouragement. Sometimes they just want to go to a comfortable place in their mind. Or someone, if someone's been in an accident or something, you might tend to focus on that too much. So help them to let them know it's okay. If your mind wanders, then you can just remember to come back. That's why it's good to say the person's name, the client's name in the visualization several times, I think, so that, like if I was doing a visualization for one of you on the phone, I'd say, Anna L., you know, go to this place, or Dave, imagine this, or June, or June, we have June in Texas that works with horses. June, imagine yourself you know, riding on your horse now, or John's in Nebraska, imagine yourself going working with your swimming, or imagine yourself working with swimmers. So, you know, saying the person's name several times, that can bring them back into the visualization. So, yeah. So there's. So yeah, I hope that answers your question, NL. Yeah, and so I wanted to talk about focusing your mind when you're wanting to do the process of healing injuries. We're going to kind of a healing process now with talking with you about visualization. The first is to understand your injuries and its meaning and your attitude toward it. And you can use imagery or visualization to explore the mental blocks that you might have toward getting better. So finding images to move past these barriers. So the second, that's the first stage, understanding your injury and its meaning and your attitude toward it, and working through mental blocks, because we all have mental blocks of some sort, or challenges or obstacles, you know, thinking, I don't know if I can get through this, asking those questions. And then the second stage is to do visualization exercises where you imagine yourself in the healing process and project yourself into the future when you'll be completely healed and healthy. And so that's really good to do. You know, now during this COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of people think, you know, we're kind of stuck in this thing forever, but the one good thing to do is to imagine yourself in that healing process. Imagine the future when it'll be completely healed and healthy. You know, imagine when, you know, we'll get through the COVID-19 and we'll all be healed and healthy as a as a individually and as a city and as a country and the world all together. So, just drinking some water here to so my throat's nice and clear. So, some people might be skeptical about, you know, thinking about your body or dialoguing or having a conversation with your body, but actually we have these internal conversations with ourselves all the time as part of our normal thought process. And these, so exercises I want to give you here, they're simply a way of making our internal dialogues more structured and bringing clarity to their solutions. So one way is to, tuning into your body, is letting it direct you toward the best possible recovery. So here's here I want to give you an exercise that you could do with your athletes, and then I'll include more of this in our private members area and an email to all of you too. But a visualization for understanding your injury. So here's a visualization exercise. And you could do this yourself right now if you want to, just to experience it. So lie down or or sit down in a comfortable place. And then you close your eyes, and or if you're doing this with a client, have your client close their eyes and breathe deeply and relax. And put your awareness into that part, body part that hurts or is not working well. So all of us probably have something in our body that we need to work on. So putting your body there and getting a feeling for the extent of the, you know, what's going on in that area. Or if it's damaged or not working well, just get a feeling for that and imagine how, imagine what it looks like, how much it weighs, and just, you know, let's say it's, if it's someone who is sick, let's say, for instance, you have a stomach ache or something, you know, you could mentally trace the boundaries around the injured part and just imagine what that looks like inside. Or if it's, let's say, an injured knee, you know, just imagine that part. And you could imagine what it's, what color it is and how big it is and what it feels like. And then what you could do is address your injury as if it were a person. So ask the injury, you know, what it's feeling. So just imagine you're talking to your knee like it's a person, you know, talking to my knee, you know, what are you feeling right now? And find out what it needs and what it wants to tell you. Maybe it needs more rest, or maybe it needs more, a little bit more gentle movement. Maybe it needs swimming in, you know, some gentle movement in water. And so find out what it needs, what it wants to tell you, and ask what you need to heal yourself. So find out kind of what you need yourself to heal yourself and give your injury a chance to speak directly to you. I know it might sound funny, you're actually having a conversation with your body, but we're actually doing this all the time, mostly in a negative way, so why not turn it around to, you know, a positive way of doing this and give your injury a chance to speak to you and pay close attention to what you hear. So from your body, maybe it's aching and it needs you know, some massage, or you know, sometimes if you've had surgery, let's say foot surgery, I've had bunion surgery before, and if my foot was down, it would be aching because it needs to be elevated, and so you know, my foot's telling me to, you know, put my foot up and put it, rest it on a chair or something above me, and then I could, it would feel much better. So sometimes your body is, that's a specific example of where your body's telling you to, you know, elevate that injured area so that it gets more blood supply. And so having that conversation with your body to tell you what it needs, and then while you're doing this exercise, here's some responses that you might receive from your body, from your injury. It might say to you, it's all right to ask for help, or it's okay to be sad, or you can be angry at me, it's okay. Or it might say you are to blame, and that's something you need to work through, because you're not, no one's to blame for anything. But sometimes that's a message we get. It might say, now you're making me worse. I need to, you know, put your leg up so that you know, I'm not hurting so much, so I can get some rest. So you might hear, you know, your body might be telling you you're more upset than you realize, or your body, this injury might tell you take good care of yourself. So those are some responses you might receive, or some thoughts that just might go through your head. So just pay attention to whatever your injury is saying to you, so you can use this in your later visualization work. And don't worry if you don't get any response at all. You know, you'll have opportunities to do this again, and you might want to write down the feedback you receive. And then while you're focused on your injury, in the visualization, just notice any images that come to you. You might be aware of and feelings that you have, or aches or pains, you know, in that particular area, or sights or sounds or tastes or smells or anything that you associate with your injury. You know, when you're visualizing it, you might see a red inflamed area, or you might hear crying, or you know, some sounds. Sometimes there's a clicking sound in one of the joints, and so it's good to notice that so that you can tell your physician and you can do something about that. You might feel coarse surfaces or temperature differences. Just pay attention to these impressions so you can use them in further imagery sessions. Pay attention to what you hear. And so you can, you know, and here's another visualization you could use. You could imagine yourself looking into a reflecting lake or a pond. Imagine, you know, the sun is shining down and you can see your reflection in a pond or the lake, and see yourself with your injury and notice, do you look different, or do you seem to be in pain or upset, or is your body feel different? And then here's another visualization you could do. You could bring up an image in your mind that best symbolizes your injury. So what symbolizes it, or what does it look like? You might see a strained tendon as kind of a rope tied up in knots, or you might see your inflamed ankle. If you have a sore ankle, it might seem like it's hot, or yeah, it's in hot coals. So give your image a voice. You can have it speak to you as your injury. So ask it to tell you anything you need to understand about your injury. And so here's what you can say in a visualization. Please tell me what I need to know to be healed. What a powerful thing to say to yourself, to your body. I'll say that again. Please tell me what I need to know to be healed. So it's kind of asking your body for its wisdom, and then asking and then listening for the answer. And if you've been feeling angry or sad or anxious about your injury, you know, ask what's this anger or depression trying to tell me? So it's kind of getting at the specifics of that injury. And this is really good for for athletes or business or people in the performing arts, but just anyone in general too who is sick or ill. So asking it to kind of giving it that, finding a symbol for it, and you can ask it, give it your image a voice, ask it to speak to you, and ask it to tell you anything you need to understand your injury. And then finally, you know, you want to take a different perspective on your injury. So look at it as something you may have created in your life for some purpose, and express your, so this is kind of a broader perspective, express your willingness to understand, you know, your lifestyle and how you, that might have contributed to an injury. So, you know, sometimes we're just really obsessive, compulsive, and got to train every day. A lot of athletes are like that, and I was like that as well. And you can end up telling, looking at your lifestyle in general and how that might contribute, or how you could change your lifestyle to help yourself. For instance, when I got injured with running, all I was doing was running every day, and I was running, when I was doing marathon training, running 100 miles a week, which was a whole lot of stress on the joints and mostly on roads, and then I realized that kind of training was contributing to getting injured a lot, and realized I needed to change my lifestyle and change my training so that I started swimming and bicycling, and I realized I'm only going to run every other day, every 2 days. And in the other days I would swim or bicycle, and that really made a huge difference. I made that choice about 30 years ago to change that in my lifestyle. So, and now I don't get injured nearly as much because if it's running every other day, then give yourself a chance to rest the joints to rest, because the running is tends to be the most there's no stress on the joints, so it's really good to do something like swimming or bicycling that's not as much weight bearing. So asking what kind of lifestyle changes you need to make. And then whatever you hear during this exercise, you know, whatever your body's telling you, just accept it with an open mind and don't worry about it if it doesn't seem to make sense at that time. With practice and patience, the meaning will come to you. So do that visualization. You can tell your athletes to do that visualization once or twice a day until you begin to receive some answers, and then you can use the information to do further imagery healing exercises. So, and then you can just begin to, with your clients, adjust your visualizations to apply to, you know, their specific situation, or maybe they're improving. So that's good to focus on, say, reducing swelling or getting plenty of rest, and imagine the scenes getting stronger and enhancing your flexibility, increasing your training, you know, as you're slowly coming back. But many athletes and people tend to make the mistake of coming back too soon and re-injuring themselves. So it's really important to kind of pull in the reins and go and be more conservative. And if you feel like you need to really accelerate, sometimes it's good to only do half of a workout, but only do half of what you had planned. And then imagine the scenes getting, imagine yourself getting better. And the key is to promoting healing, and that allows you to learn. And patience is the key. Healing process might take longer than you wish, but with time and patience, it does come about. So, so I just wanted to give you that information about some those exercises to do, information about how to what goes on in the brain with injuries, and then what can happen. With some exercises you can do, visualization to understand your injury, and then just let me just give you a few healing affirmations that you could do, and then you can make up your own as well, and have your athletes or your clients make up their own as well that can really be specific to them. So letting them know there's learning in everything that occurs in life, and you want to trust and respect your body's wisdom. So you want to give them some healing affirmations or power word statements, and statements, the purpose of those is to, you know, provide a solution for those personal areas of conflict that you might have discovered that's associated with your injury. Four purposes, really. One is to provide some resolution for those areas of conflict in your life and that are associated with injury. And then second, generate an idea of complete, quick healing, or not faster than is healthy, but complete healing and accelerated healing. And the third thing is find a way to return to normal, healthy activities and training, get back to your regular training, the things that you love to do. And then the fourth thing is to show how you modify your training, how you can modify your training now to avoid further injuries so you don't get re-injured again. So those are four areas that you want to include in your affirmations. So here's some examples of some affirmations or power word statements. Should be short and you want to make them just really positive and just short, and make them in the present tense. So things like healing energy surrounds me. Healing energy surrounds me. It's good to say them each a couple of times so that you help your athletes, help your clients to internalize them. Say to yourself, I forgive myself for getting hurt or getting injured or getting sick. I forgive myself for getting hurt or injured or sick, whatever the situation is. Here's a really good one. I'm willing to take responsibility for my injury. I'm willing to take responsibility for my injury. Another affirmation is I can cope by focusing on my progress each day. What a great thing to say to yourself. I can cope with this by focusing on my progress each day. And so that, along with that, is maybe encouraging your clients to make a log book or a small, just something simple to be able to journal or log your progress each day, some simple thing that you did. Maybe not the results so much as just what you did each day to help yourself through. Focusing on your progress each day. And then say, sometimes we kind of are in an injury mindset. We stay there too long. So at some point you can say, I'm willing to give up my injury, or I'm willing to accept my injury and then move forward. And then you can say, I'm releasing my sadness and anger. So you acknowledge it, but then you can release it. And here's a good one. I'm taking good care of myself. Saying to yourself, I'm taking good care of myself. And I'm keeping my spirits up. Keeping my spirits up. My emotions are good. And here's a good one. My body is my friend. So that's an overall statement about your body. My body is my friend. So because sometimes we really have negative feelings about that injured area. You know, that darn leg again, or that darn knee. But you want to really make that your friend, because you want your whole body to be working together. And say, I'm open to discovering the meaning of my injury. So that's a really good one for deep discovery, looking at what's going on inside. I'm open to discovering the meaning of my injury. And then you can really inquire. When you do have them say that, you probably have your clients open up lots of different things that they want to talk about with you, because it might mean that they're too not willing to look at their lifestyle or look at what's going on or look at what their body's telling them. So, saying that to yourself and then saying, here's a good one. I have all the resources I need inside to create my own healing. I have all the resources I need inside to create my own healing. So you're saying to yourself, really, that's, of course, in addition to doctors and physical therapy and coaches, what we want to do as coaches is to help our clients to find those resources inside and be able to create, healing. And then, they can help. You can help them to find those resources and to use them. And one final one here is, my body and mind are growing stronger and healthier every day. My body and mind are growing stronger and healthier every day. So that's a good thing to say. Overall, for overall health and wellness, and that's good for if you're injured or even if you're not injured, to just be able to, we all want to be growing stronger and healthier every day, physically and mentally. And so that's something that you can put together. So I'll send you those affirmations there, and also encourage you to create your own as well. So yeah, I just wanted to check in and see if you have questions or what was most helpful for you today. All those who are listening, you can just press *6 on your phone to unmute if you're muted.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, Annel.
Yes, it's good. It just I have a last question. Is it possible to do visualization for a group, for example, a team of soccer or a team in company, when they have to work together and they have to fight together? Is it possible to do a visualization for all the team? And if it's possible, they have to listening at the same time together, or is it better if each member of this team hear by himself the visualization?
Yeah, okay, good question. And also, yeah, is it possible to do visualization in a group and or with people who work together and all this thing at the same time? Yeah, just wanted to repeat your question, make sure everyone could hear it. And, yeah, I wanted to respond to saying, yeah, for sure, you can do your visualization with a group. And I do that all the time with athletes as a group, and you could actually do it as in business as well. So these days with COVID-19 and the pandemic going on, a lot of people are maybe not meeting in groups physically, but yet athletes, if you're with athletes, they could still, if the weather's good, they could meet outside, socially distanced kind of thing, and they could be on the grass somewhere on a field, and you could have them just sitting, listening to you. And for instance, I've done that with cross-country runners where I would first ask a coach or ask each person what their needs are, what they're struggling with. And so you get their input and what they want to work on with their, focus on with their visualization. And then you know, make notes of that, so include that. So you could have an overall visualization that you do that you've planned, but also ask for their input and then include those things to make it more specific for them. So, you know, for instance, I worked with a coach, a cross-country coach, and she would tell me what the team is struggling with and what they need, that they're, you know, really get nervous ahead of time or worry comparing. It was women, girls, high school girls, so they would compare themselves to others and not feel as adequate. So we wanted to work on that. It's good to not say anything negative in the visualization, but to focus on the opposite of that, the positive part, that you focus on what, you know, what can I do individually. And so I did the visualization for them. I've done it both in person with the group, and then also you can do these kinds of things on the phone, just like we are now in a conference call or a Zoom call kind of thing. And you can do, after asking for, it helps at first to have a short conversation and just ask for their input, as I was mentioning, and then be able to do the visualization there with, you know, maybe one that's like, say, 5 to 10 minutes long, not too long, with a group, because you might lose, if it's too long, you might lose their attention, but do it for 5 or 10 minutes, and then afterward be able to talk about, that's a powerful thing about with a group, you could do a debriefing afterward of their experience and what they, because each person, you're doing the same words coming out of your mouth with your visualization, but you might have, each person might have a totally different experience. They might get, some might get really emotional and some might be really focused. Some might feel, it might have brought them back to a past situation where they were having trouble. Lots of things could happen. And so you can have them imagine, you know, just imagine, do a debriefing to find out what their experience was, and then ask them for feedback. How was that, the visualization for you, and how could it be improved for next time? And then that way, when you do it, if you do another visualization, you can make it even better for them for the next one. And just be able to, it's a really powerful thing, yeah, be able to do it as a group. And when you do it, it's always good to record it as well so that you are able to send that recording, an MP3 file, to the group. If it's a coach, you could send it there, and they could send it to the group members, or however you disperse that, or put it on your website or your social. It's good to use something that's a private area, so that you don't. So it's something that just they have access to. Not everybody has access to, kind of thing. You could put it on a page, a kind of a secret page on your website, a link there, so that and you only give them the address for that. That way they can be able to access it that way. So so that's a really good question, Annel, about visualization for a group. And you could do it with people in business. Same thing, you could, if you're doing a presentation in office, you know, later on after the pandemic's over, we could do these. You could do it as part of a presentation that you make in a group inside. And for now, with the way with the pandemic, you know, a lot of people are meeting by Zoom or phone calls, so you can do that visualization that way, but with everybody still present there. And it's always good to give the feedback, ask for what they want first, and then give feedback. So, hopefully does that help, NL?
Yes, thank you. It was clear, thank you.
Yeah, great. Yeah, did you have another question or anything else too?
No, it's good. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, great. Yeah, thanks. And I think other people on the call, too, will just, I think they're muted right now because they're traveling. So, yeah, it's great to talk with you all and to talk about these concepts, tools for coaching, specifically for visualization for healing and for injury, because it's such a big area, such an important area now. And so, and we'll continue with different tools on our next call, September. So the second, fourth Thursday. So next time will be on the 24th of September. You can put that down in your calendar. It's the same time at 9:00. And look forward to talking with you then. Yeah. Any other comments? Or just so glad to be able to connect with all of you. And it's just really, and if you can continue to send me your homework assignments, and I'll give you feedback by email too about your assignments. So thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing this time with me and reply to my question.
Oh yeah. Yeah, if you have other questions too, you can email them to me as well. Yeah, that sounds great, yeah. So good luck with doing your visualizations for with groups as well as individuals. Great questions. Thank you, Anna L. And others on listening on mute, Dave and George and Greg, I know, and June and John all on our call here. So I'll look forward to talking with you next time. September 24th,
okay.
So put that on your calendar. All right, thank you. Have a great week. Great day, and I'll have this recording up shortly. Thank you. Bye now. Bye.
Bye-bye.